You built it. You took the risk of employing these people. You've got the massive wage bill. You've got, you know, everything's riding on your decisions, and you feel like you're now waiting for the return on your mental, emotional, and no doubt financial investment. And that, my friends, is the trap. If you mentor every single week in your salon, that's going to show up in your long-term business value. You become the 100K mentor. That's what creates 100K stylists or therapists that allows you to hit your revenue, salary, and profit goals. How can I unlock your confidence? How can I help you to become the best version of yourself, both as a stylist and or a therapist, but also as a person?
Your salon team does not become a high-performing team by accident. Welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Pleased to have you back. Now, your team will become a high-performing team because somebody leads them there. And if your salon is sitting at around the 500K mark, you know, every year, 700 even, or you're edging towards the million-dollar part, this is the part that starts to matter even more to get that next level of growth, because your next level requires a different version of you. You need to become a different person than what got you to 500. You need to become a different version of yourself to get to the million or to the 600 or to the 700. And salon CEOs that can mentor their team, like in confidence, feel confident about leading and mentoring a team, become consistent in the way that they lead and behave, really will build higher performing teams. And it's that that creates higher revenue. And in this episode, Joel's going to give you a little bit of a sneak peek behind one of our salon mastery intensives, where our salon CEOs are doing anywhere from $500,000 to over $3 million plus in revenue. And they've worked through this one big question: who do I need to become to build the kind of team that can help me scale my salon beyond where I am now to where I want to or need to be? So you're going to hear why the pathway to your revenue, your salary, your profit goals all start with creating 100K stylists or therapists. And when we say 100K, like, they get paid 100K. So surely if they're getting paid 100K, you're at least earning that and more. So why does this not happen through just winging it or just waiting until my team gets better or hoping that your team, quote unquote, just get it? This is about becoming the 100K mentor that your salon needs. This is a goodie. I know you're going to enjoy it. Let's jump in with Joel.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. Me, Joel, here. Just wanted to start off by acknowledging you and encouraging you and reminding you of the incredible job that you've done, that you're doing, and that you'll continue to do. I absolutely take my hat off to anybody that decides to not only run a business, but to also run a team, and to, in doing so, cast hope that tomorrow, the future, can and will be better. So keep doing what you're doing. The world needs it. Your local community needs it. If you've got kids, they're probably very inspired by what you're doing. If you're employing humans, they're probably very, very inspired by what you're doing. You're one of the very few people that make society what it is. So thank you on behalf of all the other entrepreneurs out there. I want to talk to you today about a topic that I think it's quite difficult to wrap your hands around. Like, it's not the most tangible piece of the puzzle, but it's very, very important. Recently, we ran an intensive inside of Salon Owners Collective just for our clients, our salon CEOs, and they're invited along to a two-day intensive, and we work with them to understand, distill, and then empower them into doing something that makes their business more valuable, that makes their approach to business more beneficial. And this particular intensive was all about becoming a mentor, becoming the mentor that your salon needs. And I want to bring you into that world and give you a taste or an insight into what it's like to be in that closed off Zoom room where a whole bunch of salon CEOs that are doing anywhere between $500,000 and about $3.5 million in revenue are hanging out, asking questions, sharing insights, sharing ideas, and of course, absorbing some of what I'm about to share with you. So I want you to think about this for a moment, that sometimes what we need to do in a particular situation is really, really important. You know, like in the context of being healthy, you could say that what you need to do is walk 10,000 steps a day, eat lots of vegetables, and, you know, overall, don't eat too many processed foods. And there's like a recipe of this is what you need to do. And it's valuable, but it also isn't the whole package, because if it was that easy, everyone would be doing it. So why is it that people aren't walking 10,000 steps a day, they're not eating a ton of vegetables, and they're saying no to a bunch of processed food? Why is it? Because success is not just about what we do, it's about the identity that we embrace. It's about who we see ourselves as in the context of business, but also our team and in life. And so becoming a mentor is a critical part of what it means to be a successful salon CEO. And this intensive was so, so successful. And I'm saying that on the other side of the feedback that we've already received. And I want to bring you into that world. So one of the sessions that I ran, it started off by sharing this quote or the statement. And I'm just reading it off the screen here. It says, "The future salon that you want requires an elevated version of you." And there's like, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of people reading this on screen. And I'm like, type yay or nay into the chat if you agree with that statement. And there's a resounding 100% of people say yay, absolutely. Like, they are interested in the next version of themselves. And so I go, cool, okay. Well, if you elevated and your salon elevated, how would that then be measured? Like, how would we know that you've grown? How would we know that your salon's grown? And then they're like, well, the revenue would go up, right? And so, of course, I then say to them, take a couple of minutes, and I want you to write down in 3 years' time, so 2029, what is the absolute ideal goal annual revenue that your salon's just turned over? What is the absolutely ideal goal annual salary that you've received in the last 12 months? And what is the absolutely ideal goal annual profit that you are now figuring out, how do I spend this? Do I reinvest it? Do I take it? You know, what do I do with it? And so if people go away and they do that, and we use that as a line in the sand to go, well, who I need to become is based on the goal that I have. Otherwise, there's no point in becoming, because I'm not really interested in any other thing than the goal that I have. And so the question for everyone then becomes, to achieve that kind of goal, because, you know, our salon CEOs, they're quite aspirational. Like, they're not writing, I want revenue to go up 50K. They're probably writing something like double, triple, maybe even quadruple that in the next 12 months. So the question becomes, to achieve this level of success or this level of revenue, salary, profit, what needs to happen? What is the thing that needs to happen, like, in your salon? It's kind of like the what do we need to do question. It's kind of how I started this out. If you want to be lean and healthy, you need to go and do, the 10,000 steps, the loads of vegetables, the cut out, the processed foods, right? So we know what to do. In order to achieve those financial goals that we've just distilled, even if you've got them in your head right now, the real answer is not a secret, but most people think it's a secret. And this is how we term it, phrase it, distill it at Salon Owners Collective. We say you need more of your clients coming more often and spending more. Now, as elegant as that sounds, what that's really about is it's about that happening and it being done through a happy, productive team. Like your team needs to be happy and they need to be productive. This is like, if you ever say to someone that leads a team, a business owner, a small business owner, someone in our space, like, how's the team? Like, if the team are happy and the team are productive, like, the answer is going to be somewhere between good and amazing. And that's what we want for you. We want your team to be happy and content. Like, they're really engaged in the work and the team and the clients and the everything that they do. But we also want them to be productive as well. So those that the kind of like, let's not overthink it, like, happy, productive team, that's the bullseye, right? And if that happy, productive team can see more of your clients more often and the clients are spending more, then what that means is they have the highest chance possible at earning $100,000. Now, you might already have stylists or therapists that earn $100,000. You might have stylists and therapists that earn significantly less than that, like more like $50,000. Either which way, it's 100% possible. And it doesn't have to be 100K. It could be 110K. It could be 80K. It's really about dangling the carrot that's aspirational and almost would require someone on your team, to really break a belief about what's possible in your team, in our industry, et cetera. So that's the do. Is like, if you want to achieve your revenue, salary, profit goals, then what you need to do is you actually need to have 1 to 5 stylists or therapists earning $100,000 a year. That's what you need to do. And how you do that is more clients, more often, spending more with a happy, productive team. So if we just play this out for a second, you're going to hit your financial goals if you can figure out how to create 100K stylists or therapists, which raises the question, who do I need to become in order to lead the kind of team where $100,000 stylists or therapists emerge? Who do I need to become? And that is where we drop the most important piece of intensive, which is you need to become not everything to everyone. You need to become your salon's 100K mentor. Someone's got to do it. Now, we've got people at Salon Owners Collective where it's actually best that their manager does that because of the role that the manager takes on, the frequency and contact that the manager has, the respect that the manager has, et cetera, et cetera. But for 90% of our salon owners, the invitation is to become the 100K mentor. Like, within the realm of I own this business, isn't there just so many roles that you take on? You're the cleaner, you're the stylist, you're the, you know, you do the till, you do the accounting. Like, there's so many roles. But in order to hit your financial goals, you need to create 100K stylists or therapists. And the pathway into that is to become the 100K mentor. So here's the kind of like the process. You become the 100K mentor. That's what creates 100K stylists or therapists that allows you to hit your revenue, salary, and profit goals. And so then we dived into the identity and specifically what it means to embody and understand this whole concept and idea of being a 100K mentor. Because the reality is, like, if you're listening to this right now, you're going, Joel, what even is a 100K mentor? Like, what do they do? What do they say? How do they talk? Like, what's the stuff, right? And I think that's a really, really important conversation. I want to share with you two things really quickly in this podcast. And one of them is from a gentleman named John C. Maxwell. When I first started out in leadership about 20 years ago, John C. Maxwell provided a framework that I thought was brilliant. And it just allowed me to better understand, like, what's my role as a leader and how do I bring out the best in my people? Because I fundamentally believe that if I could bring out the best in my people, then our clients or the impact that we have would scale. Because I'm good, but I'm not as good as 3, 5, 7, 11, or in my case, 25 people all becoming better. Like, that's actually the way to create more impact and more income. So John C. Maxwell came up with this model. And I think when I say he came up with it, like, he wasn't just sitting around going, I need to come up with an idea. But, you know, based on the experience and wisdom that he was developing, He created something called the five levels of leadership, or five-level leadership. You can look this up online. It's on YouTube. It's everywhere, actually. There's a book on it. And there's five levels. And it starts at level one and it finishes at level five. And it kind of articulates the different levels that you can expect as a leader. And just between me and you, why this is so important, because I don't think that you lack the ability to train your team in the latest hair or skin or beauty needs. I think you're really good at that. I don't think you need general business advice. I think for most people, the gap after $500,000 turnover is leadership. It really is. It's the ability to lead other people to a place that they've never been before and to help them realize it's the place that they are most lit up. And that is where they're autonomous, they're independent, they have mastery and a real sense of purpose. It's been well documented that the combination of those three things is what really, really motivates and lights people up. And if you can lead your people there, open the door and help them to walk through it, you will have people that far outlast the seven-year average of what it means to stay with someone for a long period of time. Okay, five-level leadership. The first level is someone in your team follows you because they have to, basically, because you have a role, and your role might be owner, it might be employer, it might be boss, it might be something like that. And because of that, that's why someone in your team follows you, and that's it. Now, it's not the best level to be at with any of your people, but there's a high chance that someone in your team, if not two or three people, have this relationship with you, which they're only there because there's a role and because they have to. If they don't follow you, they're not going to get paid and then they don't have a job. The second level of leadership, which is a massive jump up, is the person in your team follows you because they like you. Now, I don't mean that in the superficial way of they like you. I mean, like, there's a relationship between you where there's reciprocity, there's trust, there's goodwill, there's good intent. And because of the relationship that exists between the two of you, now there's a want to follow you. I follow you because I like you, because I want to follow you. Like, it's by choice now, not by force. So that's the second level of leadership. The third level of leadership is what we call the role model level. So if you've got, I follow you because of the role, I follow you because of the relationship. Now at the third level, I follow you because you're the role model for me. In our industry, you are the person that inspires me. And the language is, I follow you because you inspire me. Because you're better than me at many things, but at least one thing. And I could learn from you, and you're encouraging, and you're open to helping me to grow and develop. Like, this is an important level. It's such an important level if you employ stylists and therapists, particularly at that senior or executive level. It's like, these are the people that you want role modeling to your younger or newer staff members. The fourth level is the level of the reproducer. And at this level, people are following you because there's a past tense, you helped me. You helped me become. You helped me to see. You helped me to emerge. You helped me to level up. And I think every single one of us, even you as the owner, have had someone in your journey that helped you to see yourself better than you saw yourself. You had someone that helped or believed in you when you needed that belief the most. And because of them, they actually reproduced a better version of you. And so the reproducer level is, it's really about, instead of role modeling or building relationships, etc., which are all very, very important, now you're looking at ways that you can actually reproduce other leaders in your team, which I think is really important if you want to set yourself free, if you don't want to be the bottleneck in your business. The last level of leadership is called the respect level. So it's five R's. And at the respect level, people follow you because you are you. And both the staff member and the salon CEO or owner, they can't actually explain the real what behind this level, but I'm sure you've experienced this before, either with people that you follow and are influenced by, or maybe you've got people on your team that would just never leave you because you're you, and you've built from the role to the relationship to role modeling to reproducing. You've built so much trust and so much connection with these people that they just respect you, and that is why they follow you. We shared this at the intensive, and we got our salon CEOs to reflect on their team members and to answer the question, hey, where are you at with each of your team members? Because you're not at a level and everyone else kind of catches up or drops down. It's like every single team member, you're either role, relationship, role model, reproducer, or respect. And I think that's probably a worthwhile encouragement to you, is to write down the members of your team and to go, where are we at? Like, are we at the reproducer level? Are we at the relationship level? Because whatever level you're at will start to determine what you do next with them.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community, and other $1 million plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
The positioning of our intensive is, of course, at level 4, the reproducer. It's where we shift from as a salon CEO, look what I can do. Look at how great I can run meetings. Look at how great I can lead the daily team huddle. Look at how great I can run the workshop or do the here or teach the training. It's less of that, and it's more of, as the title suggests, the reproducer. It's more of, what can I do for others? How can I help you to level up? How can I unlock your confidence? How can I help you to become the best version of yourself, both as a stylist and or a therapist, but also as a person? And what we, of course, love to say at this point is that your salon will scale when your leadership scales. That's why the plateau. That's why the decline. That's why the stunted growth is, the leadership stops, the development of you stops. And so I think a good way to start to wrap up this particular podcast is not just to remind you of the 5 levels of leadership. I think that's really, really important, but to actually give you something tactical that will help you to go away and straight away start to step into being more of a mentor and less of a passive business owner that's maybe just a little bit guilty of waiting for it to happen. Like, you took all the risk, you built it, you took the risk of employing these people, you've got the massive wage bill, you've got, you know, everything's riding on your decisions, and you feel like you're now waiting for the return on your mental, emotional, and no doubt financial investment. And that, my friends, is the trap. There is no waiting in this game. We have to actually step forward significantly more than what we've been told in order to scale your business to the grand heights of your hopes, dreams, and aspirations. And so let me tell you, in essence, what a fantastic, a great, a world-class 100K mentor does, and what are the five traits that make them incredible mentors, the kind of mentors that your people like to be around, that are inspired to learn from, and essentially, eventually, become leaders because of. That's the relationship, that's the role model, and that's the reproducer. So the five traits of a 100K mentor. Number one, a 100K mentor is early. They're not late. I don't mean showing up to a meeting. I mean, part of mentoring is about showing people their blind spots. It's about revealing the things that they can't yet see. And it's about opening up their awareness so that they can do the things that they get to do better. And one of the traps that people fall into when they're mentoring is they don't see it. Like they're the salon owner that's got, you know, kids or responsibilities, or they've got to be somewhere, or they're just not in the salon that day, and they miss it, right? And then they go, okay, cool, well, I've heard it from this person, so I'll wait till I see it again. And, you know, a few days pass, and then eventually the conversation just starts to fall into the too hard basket because you haven't seen it, you're waiting to see it, you know it happened, but there isn't really the grounds for you to move forward. And it kind of feels like a hard conversation. And between me and you and Lampos, I don't actually want to have many hard conversations. I actually struggle with confrontation. Like it really is something that I'd rather do less of. And I don't want to, you know, make them feel shame at all, or humiliate them, or make them feel embarrassed. And if it's not that, then they might get defensive. And so actually, hey, I'm not having the hard conversation. What helps with all of that is you've got to be there and you've got to be early on the mentoring. And so we taught all of our people exactly how to be early instead of waiting for it to happen and by default being late. The second trait of a 100K mentor is that they're calm and they are most certainly not chaotic. I think we live in a world now with the acceleration of technology into our lives, but also the presence of AI, that a lot of people are running a very, very, very high RAM life. When I say RAM, I'm talking about the metaphor of the computer. Like there's a lot of tabs open and you're good. Like you're really good at holding space for all those tabs. But just between me and you, you're actually occurring to your people as a bit of a scatterbrain. Like we can see that you've got 9 conversations going on in your head. We can see you trying to multitask the things that are in front of you physically, the conversations and the people that are in front of you, and the mental load that sits in the background. And that kind of leader won't have the same kind of impact and influence as a calm leader. One that, even if it is busy back there, you know, like the metaphor, like the duck, that their legs are going frantic underwater, but they look really calm and collected on the surface. Even if your style is more that, it sends a message to everybody that you've got it, even though you don't. And when you understand leadership, you start to realize that some of the best leaders are, they can acknowledge the emotion, they know how to deal with emotion, but they also are able to then go, what my people need from me is a steady ship to show up and go, this is the way. We've got this, you know? And so calm, not chaotic. They don't emotionally react to circumstances, law changes, trends, shifts in algorithm, canceled clients, white space. They're like, that stuff happens. We've got systems. When these things happen, we push go on the system. Like, honestly, I work with all of our boardroomers. The major difference between those trading under $1 million and those trading over $1 million is that those in boardroom trading over $1 million, when shit happens, when shit hits the fan, when it's not going well, they're running a system to deal with it. Under $1 million, this is a generalization, by the way, they are allowing their emotions to hijack the entire day, if not week, some of the month, and just arrive at this narrative of like, things are just the way they are at the moment. This is like, okay, see how that goes for you. Just like set up the system. Like, where's your white space system? You got white space, run the system. Don't make it about you. Don't make it about your team. Run the system. Systems will set you free. Okay, so the five traits of a 100K mentor. Number one, they are early. Number two, they are calm. Number three, they are consistent. Now, I know you've heard that word a million times before, so let's not spend a lot of time on it. I don't know how often you do one-on-ones. I actually don't even know the quality of your one-on-ones. I've seen a lot of one-on-ones in salons before. I've been in the observation mode of salon one-on-ones for decades now. And I think, generally speaking, we do them poorly. I'm just going to say it. We do them poorly. But we do them with, you know, relatively good intent. One of the things that makes them poor is that they're happening like once every 3-4 months. Like, they're happening quarterly. And you're like, well, Joel, I'm busy. I'm running a family and a business and a team and a bank account, actually 19 bank accounts, and there's so much going on. I get it. Totally get it. You don't want to leave your goals, dreams, hopes, and aspirations, your ideal revenue, salary, and profit up to the busyness of your life. If that was the path to success, like if I said to you, hey, we can take your revenue to this level, we can take your salary to this level, and we can take your profit to this level, and you're like, okay, cool, I'm in. And I'm like, okay, cool. Tell me about your calendar. And you're like, oh, I'm so busy. Like, you know, I'm stretched in all the directions. There's always something that comes up. And I'm like, well, unless we change that, it's not going to happen. And you're like, okay, cool, let's just forget about it. Like, do you know that every single person on the planet, when I say to them, how's your calendar, they say I'm busy? That most people say they're overwhelmed, but most people are biting off more than they can chew. Like, it is really normal to feel overwhelmed by your very own calendar. But those that are successful actually implement a consistent cadence of mentoring. And so every week they're in the salon and they've actually got time, like, portioned out to go and mentor their people. And at the intensive, we talk exactly about how you do that, like where you do that, what you say, the script. There's a 3-step framework. It's brilliant. We've got managers already doing it. They feel really confident to do it. Like, it's really, really powerful. The key, though, is you've got to be consistent. It doesn't matter how powerful anything is. Like, if you walk 10,000 steps every day, like, that's going to show up in your long-term health, right? It's like, if you mentor every single week in your salon, that's going to show up in your long-term business value. Okay, so they're early, they're calm, they're consistent. Number four is they're behavioral, okay? So when I say behavioral, one of the biggest mistakes we see with hard conversations is it starts to become about the person. Like, if I said to you, hey, are you interested in some feedback? As soon as I say that, there's a part of you that goes, hang on a minute. He's about to reveal a wound that you have, that you've never dealt with, that's connected to embarrassment, shame, or humiliation that you experienced at a very young age, and you're actually not ready for feedback. But then you go, yep, I'm into the feedback, and then I give you the feedback, and you get defensive, or you implode, and it breaks you, yeah? The smart mentors know this, and they realize that the pathway into a successful conversation, one that we would shift from hard to easy, we call them easy conversations, is you make it behavioral, not about personalities. So we coach actions and the specific changeables that anyone could change, as opposed to talking in a way that's very you, very me. It's more we. And as I said, it's not about personality. So using phrases like, you know, you always do this, or something that you always do, like, that's straight away, like, you've just absolutely sabotaged the potential of the conversation. Like, don't even go 1 second longer. Like, you've got to set up the conversation well. So their behavioral, it's not about personalities. It's about the behavior. And when your people have 5 or 6 or 7 runs on the board with you and realize that, yes, you do have high expectations, and yes, you will not accept piss poor performance, and yes, you are committed to a better future for not just the salon, but also for the people. Once they realize that the feedback they get from you is about behavior that sits outside of him and you, her and you, and it's actually about this third party over here, that when you step into stylist, therapist, consultation, rebooking mode, instead of doing this, change this behavior, and it feels less threatening and more encouraging, that's when you're really stepping into the 100K mentor method. Okay, that's number four, behavioral. Last but certainly not least is you've got to be intentional. So what I mean by intentional is this. Your people didn't wake up one day and go, I was born to work in a salon. I was born to do hair. I was born to do beauty. I was born to do skin. Very rarely are you going to come across that individual. For a lot of people, they operate in an environment where the environment is actually quite engaging for them. They actually enjoy the salon environment. A combination of fast-paced, kind of busy, great people doing, you know, really highly pressured work. Like, you got to be like super accurate in our game. Like, that whole combination is what probably attracts most people. Yeah. The best salon owners are able to go a level deeper and go, they're not just here because of that. They're here because they want something. And their intent is important. So if you said to me, if I worked for you and you said to me, Joel, what do you really want? And I'm like, well, I don't really know. That's what most people say, especially if they're under 40. Like, I don't really know. I don't know what I want. I want to get qualified. Okay, cool. Awesome. But then what happens, you know, what most people want, like what they really want, is they want to be more confident in how they spend the 8 or 10 hours that they go to work. They want to be more confident. Because if you're more confident, things just happen with ease. You use less energy. It's just a great place to arrive at. You know, that's why most people over 40 or over 45, generally speaking, there's a massive generalization, are just operating with a lot more calm than those of us that are under 45, right? We're super stressed out about how people perceive us and, you know, did we say the right thing and have we got the things in the right order and all of that stuff. So your people want to be more confident. But a marker of confidence, because confidence is hard to measure, right, is recognition of one's place in the world. And the best way that you can recognize me and say, Joel, I value you, you belong here, you are revered and respected and appreciated, is to pay me a lot of money. Like, pay me $100,000 or show me the pathway and give me the support and resources so that I can earn $100,000. That is it. And so before any mentoring takes place, before being early, before being calm, before being consistent, before being behavioral, you actually have to be intentional. And you've got to really get really, really clear with your staff member about the intent that sits behind this journey of growth and development. Like, I reckon 2 or 3 in every 10 people are interested in growth and development. The other 7 or 8 are like, I'll take it or leave it. You know, like, I don't have to grow. I don't have to develop. It is a deep human need, but a lot of people just like will block it out. And so what we need to hook those people into is the real thing that matters to them, which is currency, which is salary, which is what they get to take home, because that makes them feel certain about an uncertain world, putting money in someone's bank account, right? And so the conversation that you need to have that precedes mentoring is what we call the effective one-on-one. It's a really simple conversation that happens once a quarter. The mentoring happens weekly. And every time that you run the effective one-on-one, you get really intentional about why the mentoring needs to happen. What is the goal for the stylist or therapist? And what is the goal for the salon and the owner? And that transparent conversation every quarter is what mobilizes an incredibly powerful mentoring situation in your salon. So those are the 5 traits of a 100K mentor. And if you can embrace those, embody those, if you can execute those on a regular basis, you will without a doubt move your salon forward. You will lift the average of the line of performance. Let's just say you've got 8 people in your salon and every single one of them, we could chart them on a bar graph of performance, and then we could create an average line, and that average line is everyone's performance divided by the amount of people. That line there, it goes up when you pull it up by becoming the 100K mentor.
And that's a wrap. Hey, thanks, Joel. Your salon will scale when your leadership scales, not when you're carrying more for your team, not when you can tolerate more noise and weight and heaviness, not when you wait for your team to magically become a better version of themselves while you stay the same, by the way. You know, like, that doesn't make sense. And when you come in early, when you're calm, you're consistent, your behavior and your intentionality with the team is strong, your team will rise to the level that you lead them. And that's how 100K stylists and 100K beauty therapists, that's how they're built. And that is how your salon moves from stuck wherever it is that you are now back into momentum and towards that goal, $1 million goal or whatever the goal is for you. And if your team, if you know that your team have more potential than they're doing now, and you just know that you don't have the structure to bring it out of them yet, well, this is my invitation to have a chat. Let's talk. And my goal is to help you build a $1 million strategy plan. That's why I call it the $1 million strategy call. So we make a plan, like, where is your business now? Where are you stuck? What is it that you need to get out of stuck? And first and foremost, most importantly, is like, where do you even want to go? And so if we're clear on where you want to go, then we can just build the plan for you to get there. It's kind of like, if you're stuck in the woods, we just need a map to get out of the woods and back into the clearing where the sunshine is. So whatever that shift of direction needs to be for you. And I guess one of the things we need to do is work out, is salon mastery the right fit for you? Is it the right place for you to get to where you want to go? And I'll certainly be honest if it is or not, and if it isn't. I only work with a small number of salon owners every month because I really want to make sure that the coaching is personal to your business. And even though we have a salon mastery roadmap, like, that is the roadmap to the $1 million, where you start and where you are lost in the woods is different for everybody. Everybody's path is different and everybody's winning and losing in different parts. So the plan or the roadmap or the game plan is certainly personal, which is why we only work with a few small people. No, people aren't small. Just a few people, a small group. All right, I'll stop before I put my foot in my mouth. Hey, that's a wrap from us this week, and I look forward to connecting with you same time, same place on the podcast next week. Ciao for now.